This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 12th of October, 1951. The title of this lecture is Effort in N-grams. This lecture is 71 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
I want to cover a couple of subjects here. Have to cover them in a fast hurry. Want to tell you what to look for in an effort engram, effort-wise. You'll find that disruptive counter-efforts shift command in epicenters. With the last control center, the highest echelon of control center, trying to knock the lower echelons back into line. Did you ever see a fellow who's mad at his teeth? Have you ever been mad at your teeth? Have you? You ever been mad at your leg? Well, the action of the highest level of epicenter is to pick up a death engram and run it in on the lower epicenter. And the action of the lower epicenter is to pick up a death engram and shove it at the big epicenter. A pain engram, anyway. Argument amongst command posts. This argument amongst command posts produces a dissension which tears the body apart, makes people lame, halt, blind, stupid, psychiatric. It may not appear to you at the moment how important this is. You start getting your hands on preclears, you'll find out that it is. Now, I'm not going to call this diagnosis. Diagnosis is a shabby process by which you collect money. We don't diagnose anybody because we're not treating structure anyway. We're trying to handle theta facsimiles. And if anybody can say we're handling structure, all you have to do is tell them that you're handling something that isn't there, and therefore the individual is there, and the individual is structure, so therefore you couldn't be handling structure, so therefore you couldn't possibly be diagnosing anybody. You don't want to diagnose. What you want to do is find out what control center, what X control center is arguing with the control center. I don't go off into demon circuitry and have a couple of circuits talking to each other because they don't do that. This is strictly in terms of action. And you can underscore that in action. In comes a pain, hits an old epicenter. The old epicenter says, hey, control center let me down. Devil with it. Mutiny. Workers of the world arise. Bong, bing. What happens is very mechanical. The old epicenter gets hit, and it re-stimulates its theta facsimiles, and it uses them. And maybe it thinks with them a lot anyway, but it re-stimulates the very bad ones. At least makes them available. And this old center suddenly exerts its self-determinism, and if it's very badly hit, it forwards a recommendation to the other control centers and to the control center that they die. Because it's through, it says, and it doesn't want to be pegged around here for the next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, living mostly dead in a body which is otherwise alive. Now, how would you feel if you were a molar and you got clipped and the whole center area around you used to be in control of is no longer able to function, why, naturally, theta wants to separate out immediately and go off and make a new body. That's the proper thing, make a new body. This one's failed. Every body is born into every new generation with the concept that this time it cannot die. This time it is completely self-determined. This time it has met all the problems of the environment. And this time it has reached a point of structure which is completely invulnerable in the face of the environment. You never saw such a cocky assumption in your life. I bet you if you could look an embryo in the eye, I bet you he wouldn't fit in with our social code. He wouldn't be saying, well, I guess I can. He'd be saying, this is it. This is the last generation. I got the ball now. Rest of you boys all flopped. Take it easy. You're going to take my advice now. You forward me the information necessary for my running of this organism, and I'll be good to you. Cocky. Cocky as the devil. Then all of a sudden, bing, old epicenter gets hit. It's been obediently forwarding through all of its group plans, its own facsimiles, its own experiences, and so forth, and advising the commander-in-chief all about the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, it gets hit. And it says, hey, I thought that if I gave up command of this year wagon, that you'd take care of me. You haven't. Therefore, a new generation is in order. And if it's very, very badly hit, it forwards through a death facsimile for its epicenter. Death facsimile for its epicenter is forwarded through. This is rejected by the others unless it's a shock wave of sufficient magnitude to reach all parts of the body, at which time everybody passes in his death facsimile, and that's the end of that. When you realize that every epicenter has itself a complete index. Now, by the way, you can make this very palatable to the boy that wants to follow it on the genetic line. Very, very palatable. You don't have to worry anybody about it. You just say, well, it has pain facsimiles it can forward through. Pain facsimiles saying, let's quit. Actually, they're death facsimiles. And genetic line, however, pain facsimiles, it forwards those things through. Now, I'm not shooting the breeze. When you start running a preclear, he'll get these messages. And if you're not picking up the comm line of the epicenters, you're not down to reduction on the engram you're trying to run. Because you can actually contact the impact. At the moment of impact, you can contact the facsimile recommendation of that epicenter. It'll appear in the form of a theta facsimile, and the individual will believe that he's way back down the time track someplace in primordial swamps or someplace else. Boom. Actually, isn't there? His mess body's right here in present time. It continues to be. But to all intents and purposes, the reality of this theta facsimile is very great, and he will use it. He thinks he's back down the track. This is an epicenter handing through an experience. Now, you can contact these by running the person back down the track through pleasure moments. Epicenters start handing up theta facsimiles of when everything was going right in their lives. Of course, they're still alive. They're still with you, and they're still handing this data through. We've spoken of the central switchboard of the mind, whereby it takes data, which is already evaluated, and form super conclusions. Already evaluated data and form super conclusions with that data. Just say, here it is, so many items right, so many items wrong, so many this, so many that, and finally the central switchboard of the mind comes to a conclusion. You stop and think how many conclusions have got to come up on whether or not you open or close the door of a car. You will see the difficulties with regard to driving a car. How many facsimiles have to come through from what and where and so forth to do things like swim and so forth. There's a tremendous flood of them necessary in these actions. Those are summed up by the existing command center, but it does not sum up individual theta facsimiles, data in other words. It sums up master conclusions on conclusions already reached. The source of these conclusions are evidently epicenters. It keeps handing these things up out of its own battery of experience, both any time on its genetic line and any time in this life. It can accumulate data, and it sorts out data. You can watch this thing in operation. It's fascinating. You can watch thoughts taking place. You can watch data being forwarded through if you know where epicenters are. Fantastic. Wonderful. But when it comes down to pain, shock, that sort of thing, bing. You ever see a fella hitting the elbow? Elbows? Kneecap? Stamp on his toe? You're hitting epicenters. Those are epicenters, all through here, so on. They're old control posts. But actually, when the arm started to branch out, so on, they never really had a good chance to be brains, except on a bivalve system. Bivalve. The brain centers went down both ways. The hands are in control of an enormous number of motions. They think about and evidently decide upon a great many things without any recourse to the center of the body. They operate more autonomously than any other portion of the body except the tongue. The motor switchboard system here has a great big hand and a great big tongue, and the rest of the parts of the body are very small. All that's important to you, while you're still staggering with this stuff, all that's important to you is the fact that an old epicenter will make a recommendation on the received pain. This is disagreed with by existing control centers. And existing control centers will evidently throw into existence additional pain facsimiles on the old epicenter. Say, okay, boy, go ahead and hold that apathy in, Graham. Very complex system. This way, it forces continued appliance of a part of the body that wants to be dead. So portions of the body all by themselves, view of these epicenters, can make up their minds they want to be dead. They want to go on with the game. Oh, his leg's been broken 4 times. It's no good anymore. Let's make a new organism. So simple. Nothing to it. Of course, you could also add this up along the Freudian line and say, well, it recommends it to the sexual centers so that you procreate. It also does, by the way, the secondary. It says, let's make a new leg and let's kill off that part of the organism. And the command center says, no, you don't. You can hold that theta facsimile of pain, and any time you get out of line, that's tough. That sort of an operation starts taking place. You see what the basic conflict can be postulated to be. I don't want to say that it is. Of course it is, but I'll say, be polite and say it'll be postulated. And if you want to make a test of this, hit somebody on the crazy bone, and then pick up the effort on it. The first thing that you'll contact probably is, you know how engrams work. You get to the late part of the engram and you can find stuff in there, but the engram does not reduce well unless you get the front end of it. Well, I'm trying to tell you what the front end is on effort. We just went through this cycle of what happens to incoming motion. Well, you better get the first contact of hostile motion on the epicenter, or in the vicinity of that epicenter. Get the first contact of hostile motion. coming right along with it. Immediately following it, you will find the epicenter's recommendation in the terms of the theta facsimile. Makes a guy think he's way back down the track. That's the way it makes recommendations. It forwards through one of its own facsimiles, evidently. Now, you'll find that a hostile motion, a counter-effort, which comes in very, very heavily, is held for an instant and thrown back. And it can be that this thing is in restimulation to the point where it's just the moment it's held and not before it's thrown back. Therefore, the guy is in a holder. Only it's this little area that's in a holder, not the rest of the body. Just this little area goes into a holder. And you'll get the theta facsimile of that area. You can go ahead and build this up until all epicenters will hand in the theta facsimile to compare with that paid facsimile, because they were affected too. When you've done this, you've got what we call complete reality on the incident. You don't even have to tell the fellow what he's doing. There's your mechanics of it, however. Now, you'll find a heavy epicenter effect when a pain comes in, which is then held. Motion held. No effort to reject it. And you'll find a very heavy one, and you'll find the death facsimile on one that the area is being told to vibrate to. One that has, where motion has overcome it. Very heavy. So your gradient scale of motion gives you a gradient on what is happening. So you get all kinds of effects on effort. You can get an all-over effect on the body where every epicenter was in agreement that this was a toughie. And the effort came in so heavily that the whole body appears to be not only holding that little incoming motion that came in at the time and practically swamped it, but it held it and kept it from swamping it and was still damping it out, got caught in the holder. The whole body can be crunched together in an effort to do this to a point where incident after incident will keep on pulling in because they appear to be pulling in on this pain. They're trying to pull in themselves, and what they're doing is pulling in the pain. You get a natural setup on a grouper. These are quite common to find in prenatal areas and so forth. So here's the body all curled up and holding on like mad, and it's not only holding on like mad, it is pulling in, and incidents will feed right into them. A guy's whole life can start dropping into one of these things until the whole track is grouped. You see, it's holding on, and any facsimile that comes near it gets this datum in with it. Hold on. So the guy doesn't have any time track to run on. Or you can get an epicenter hit, and it's doing a rejection. Or you can get many epicenters hit simultaneously, and it's doing a rejection. And what do you get as the conduct of this whole individual in life? You get his conduct rejection. He rejects everything, everybody, so forth. He's trying to get rid of that motion. What motion is it he's trying to get rid of? Get the idea? Now, you've seen people who will work any place on this scale. Now, here's an individual, for instance, who receives an incoming motion. Gets an incoming motion and will hold it and dampen it out. No effort to feed it back at all. Here's your guy who's accepting anything without retaliation. This fellow won't retaliate. You let him go on that one motion he's stuck in, that one activity he's stuck in, and he'll start retaliating. He'll start retaliating toward mama and papa and everybody else. What he's doing is just completing the action with his motion. All you are doing when you are doing effort processing is assisting the preclear to complete actions. You're assisting the preclear to complete actions with regard to motions received. Now, that motion received can also be internal. A fellow can take poison and he feels the apathy seeping up over him inside. And this makes a very apathetic engram. This is tough because it's a kind of randomity he can't get at. And furthermore, the body won't obey him. The control center, or the old epicenter, if it was in the past life, all of a sudden says, get up! Walk. The he tries to get the message to Garcia, and it just won't get there, that's all. And he'll try to make his body sit up. And you can, what he uses then, he starts using old whips. He starts trying to make epicenters operate by first saying, well, see if I can find a theta facsimile of yours that says, kick it out. Finds one, not good enough. Let's find another one that says, jump. Yeah, fright. That's a good one. Nothing happens, the body won't move still. So he, control center sorts through and says, well, let's find one. Well, damn you, what? Let's see, let's put an anger one on the whole thing. Let's just make you hold on to it long enough so that I can operate with you. And it kicks in one of these. Nothing happens. And finally says, well, I've got to operate whether you as an epicenter operator or not. Therefore, here's your walking papers. Death facsimile. Hands it out. Wonderful. Then he really goes into apathy. It's a nice mechanical operation. You will find then, in effort processing, you will find that the first efforts that you hit in the preclear, you can just gunshot around in the case, you're hitting the middle of efforts. You're not hitting the beginnings of efforts. You will find the preclear sitting in the middle of apathies and so forth. What you want to do is find the beginnings. Just like we used to tell you, engrams have to be run from the beginning. Efforts should be run from the beginning. Find the beginning of the engram. Find the beginning of the effort. If this guy's holding on solidly onto an old pain, he's trying to damp the motion in that pain, that's all. Well, that pain's already been received. So you'd better get the earlier effort, the little bit. Of course, you go down the track, be asking for the earlier effort. You just want the instant before this when the pain started to come in. And it's very intriguing. You can get a differentiation then. You can get his first effort to reject even on such a thing as a bullet. The differentiation is so fine, I don't know about a 4,400 foot per second slug, but I sure know about 600 foot per second musket balls and that sort of thing. And I've become quite a ballistics expert in past days. It's very interesting. You take some girl doesn't know anything about ballistics or anything like this. Boy, it's really something. Anyway, it can get the first instant of contact. That's an effort, because the effort of the slug is to do the contact. Now, the effort of the individual is to go bang, and the epicenter will take care of that all by itself. It doesn't wait for a telegraph message from Washington. To get the idea that it should kick back out this effort, because the quicker you kick them, the further they'll go. Bang! You should be able to kick them right back. So it starts right away. First reaction. Bullet's a little bit deeper. Damp it in order to knock it down, decrease its motion so it can be handled. Damp it down and throw it back. Then the next one, well, hold it. Damp it right on out. Won't work. Comes right on in and it says, succumb to the motion. And you get this cycle. You slide him right off. But don't make the mistake of leaving him in a state of succumb. That's the bottom of the tone scale. You run this out. When we're first doing effort processing around here, the boys were so intrigued that they weren't running out how individuals, after a severe effort, you see, go into shock, and they get tired, and so on, right after they've done a lot of hard work. And they weren't running out the last tail end of it. Well, that was no criticism of theirs. I didn't even know this was going on. Their preclears were getting up off the couch this way. They were so tired. Well, what they did had to bring the effort to repulsion right straight down the cycle of effort to no effort. If it was a severe one, to no effort, and then taper off and take off the tiredness off the end, which is an effort too. Take the whole thing off. Right straight along. So that's your cycle of effort. And by golly, if you're going to put preclears on the couch, You had certainly better know that cycle of effort. An illness comes on a tiredness basis. And it gets more and more apathetic, more and more apathetic, and there's past, there's everything darn, I'm sorry, those that are still sticking with the genetic line, past pains and apathies get restimulated and get right straight on through, and then the guy starts to get well, and then it'll go sometimes for days. But these are efforts. You don't have to get anything out of that but effort, and an illness of that character, you can get an early enough one so that you can kick it out anyhow. It doesn't matter too much. Don't worry about where you pick it up on the track, but if you pick it up, for heaven's sakes, run it out. It doesn't take very long. Dickens with the perceptics. Just turn it on, turn all the perceptics on full as you go through the thing, but what you're blowing is the effort. Slight rejection, greater rejection, damp it, reject it, hold it, kill it, and throw it out. Can't do it. Endure it, the same motion, try to equalize with it, and then succumb to it. Start moving at the same vibration. That's your cycle on impact. Your cycle on operation is, of course, decision to be operated on. That's a conclusion. Next, ether, then the pain impacts, and you'll find down in the middle of the ether the same effort, pain, rejection points every time the scalpel touches or anything like that. Comes on through to the end, run off the last of the effort, and blow it. Now, those are the only types of engrams there are on this, I guess. But it's remarkable, the sensitivity of the body, and it's also remarkable that the epicenter, which is nearest the action scene, is apparently in command at the moment of that little area. And you will find other epicenters canceling out and forwarding back the recommendations of this epicenter. Doing things with them, accepting them, doing something else with them. You'll get the income effort. Zing! Effort will come in. The epicenter will forward something through, and all of a sudden, you're pretty clear, we'll be sitting there and he'll suddenly turn on something way down the line in some primordial swamp. If you give him a little attention on the thing, if he does that, if you give him a little attention on the thing, why, he'll very neatly find out that that's from one place and the other's from another place. He can differentiate, but don't tell him to differentiate. Just don't worry about it. But your mistake could be in not exhausting this effort that you're trying to get. Your mistake could actually come about from taking this facsimile and tracking back on it. You can run a guy clear back to photons. So stick with the effort when you got it and roll it. You'll find out that there's one part of the body that's doing this and another part of the body wants to do that. And so well, you'll find this conflict. But the conflict is not in terms, please, it's not in terms of thought, computation, and so forth. You're not trying to get any thought out of this. You're not trying to get any conclusions out of this. The only reason you're interested, even faintly interested in these computations is because they are forward theta facsimiles, which will carry him back too far on the track. And you're interested, too, in this basis. Have you got all the effort there was contained in that? Now, this is effort processing, which is reduction of the actual engram containing effort. That's on an event level. It has nothing to do with straight wire. Straight wire has to do with computations and conclusions and so forth. But this is just effort processing. Now, as far as, quote, diagnosis goes, you can actually look a person over and know what epicenters have handed in their chips. Where are the pain facsimiles of the epicenters? Where are they restimulated into pain facsimiles? Remember that the whole body could be in a state where every epicenter in it has handed in a little bit of pain and is hung up in it. Here, the command post would be the central command post of this generation. No cooperation, bad coordination, everything haywire. Nobody taking anybody's orders. What you want is a smooth agreement. Now, you'll find out the command center will enforce commands upon old epicenters by pushing them into death and holding it there. Actually trying to will them out of existence somehow. one way or the other, or trying to get complete compliance with them. You see the operation? See more or less how it works. You can watch this happening in pre-clears, my word for it. Work them over. If you come to a different conclusion, why, write in about it. All conclusions along this line are tentative. I'm just giving you something that works. Now, whenever you start running effort on anybody, it's a great temptation just to shotgun all over the place and not exhaust this or exhaust that, or asking just for efforts down the line on the dictionary and so on. You'll find out your pre-clear does better if he's kept oriented. And if you're trying to knock out a series of psychosomatic illnesses in an individual, you're working with an epicenter that's handed in its chips. You can actually go back to the primordial swamps with that epicenter and get a lot of stuff off of it. But please only get it off to the point where it disagrees with the central command post of this generation. Get it off to the point where it's perfectly willing to come back to life. So there's some ARC between the central control center and the epicenter. You know, there are a lot of these epicenters. They're every crossroads of nerve, wherever you have nerve crossroads, wherever you've got sensitivity. Here, 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 they're here, here. They're down inside the body, various organs, and so on. It's wherever an epicenter has been set up in the past. Most of these epicenters, as I say, either had a duogarchy control or a central control. I say duogarchy, bigarchy, whatever it is. Because of the bivalve system that started here, you'll find this epicenter and this epicenter can sometimes be run on different tracks. I mean, this one goes back on one track and has its own experiences, and this one goes back and has its own experiences. Of course, what happened is two animals got together to set this one up. They're not necessarily the same ancestral line, and by the way, that will stand correction on further investigation. But it just apparently is true. Now, from this first bivalve, they've got their experiences in common now, but only back to a certain point are these two experiences in common. From that point, from the bivalve state, when these were the centers, straight on forward to present time, they're okay. I mean, their experiences compare. But back before they were united, their experiences do not compare, and this gives you a split of the body. Because this series, back from this bivalve, has basic characteristics which are different than this series back from this bivalve. So when these boys get together, their facsimiles aren't identical. And this one starts building up something on this side, and this one builds up something on this side, and they go on from there. But there is a point when they get together on the matter. It's worth your taking note of, because the two sides of the body are not equally built. They don't even have the same individuality. But they have carried along together for many, many generations, as long in generations actually as that. Now, if you want to correct the two sides of the body and get them into comparison, I'm afraid you will have to go back before the bivalve unition point. You'll have to go way back on one bivalve or the other. But there's evidently the first point. Could be others. I noticed that the tongue is split, so that it may be that there was a double control center before the jaw bivalves. But the tongue might only be split because it divided its setup. There's some period in there where this happened. You'll see that you can modify the structure of an individual by doing this, the right and left sides of it. You want to take a lot of pictures of people and cut them in half, you'll find out that you paste these pictures, they will look entirely different. If you take two left sides, reverse one, so the guy is left side, you get the idea, or right side, he looks like two entirely different people. All you have to do is take a cardboard or something and hold it up to the mirror, and you'll see that a person is entirely different. There's There are two different structural blueprints then from a certain point back, evidently. This is a postulate on how this comes about, why they don't compare. And it also gives you some insight into schizophrenia. Correct definition, not as present psychiatric muck-up. It's a split. Now, here and there, this side of the brain has been handed its control of the body, but mostly this side of the brain is handed the control of the body as the new control center. So that you don't have a parity of control center on these two either. One of them was boss, and they jockeyed around and had some compromises, and you'll run into that period, by the way, and then you'll get to a point where they finally advanced this bar. No argument. No argument. As a matter of fact, you can deal with only half of the brain and have quite a bright guy. Pasteur's brain, I think the complete left lobe of Pasteur's brain had evidently been crushed at birth or something of the sort. It just wasn't there. Maybe it was the right half, I forgot. Half of it was missing. Of course, he didn't do nearly as good as Menninger or some of these other people, but quite bright. So much for that. You could move up from effort processing into what you would call conclusion processing. Take a look at a person's time track. By the way, I hope it's all right with you if I talk to you until I get these points straightened out rather than timeline schedule. Is that all right with you? Here's a guy's time track. And Aunt Bessie is good to him, so he says, women are good. Conclusion, women are good. A little while later, he gets a school teacher by the name of Agatha Smirch, who beats the dickens out of him, and she's a woman. So he says, all of a sudden, women are no good. Then he looks at his mother and he can't make up his mind. He gets up here and he meets a girl, and my, she's a pretty girl, and he buys her perfume, and he finds out, though, all of a sudden, she just liked him because he bought her perfume, and the night that he wasn't supposed to have the date, but he did call on her anyhow, she was out with this other guy. And women are no good. Now he goes along and he marries a girl, and she's perfectly fine for the first few months, and then all of a sudden he refuses to buy her the convertible to make her have a baby. I ran across a deal like this with a psychiatrist, that his wife refused to have any children unless he bought her a convertible. So to show you his great command to the human mind, no better than people in Dianetics, namely me, he bought her the convertible. Anyway, his conclusions now are, I think this was, yes. That's fine, isn't it? This is his time track. Now, you're running with this computation type processing, you're running with this type, with this axiom, is that an individual becomes the effect of his own causes. A conclusion is a static. An individual becomes the product of his own statics. Regardless of what their point of origin is, when he makes a static, a conclusion, he is then subject to it. Earlier statics cancel later statics. which is just another way of saying statics are unalterable. And so they are unalterable unless treated Dianetically. Because what you're doing is knocking the facsimile to smithereens. In Dianetics, you could go back and knock out the facsimile of the conclusion, and of course the fellow is no longer subject to it. So we're violating a prime rule of aberrated thought. And that's just swell. Because this is really aberration de loops. This fellow's environment keeps changing. And as long as his environment insists on changing, he has to make new conclusions with regard to his environment. Of course, he can become completely stet. He can become utterly static about his environment. And then the environment changes, and that's the end of him. The fellow made a statement to himself in conclusion that he would never be able to drive an automobile and he had to keep on driving a horse and buggy. He sure looks silly. And yet, in one lifetime, a person could have made that conclusion. And then he keeps wondering why he has accidents with an automobile. He made the conclusion once. But now he's made another conclusion. That other conclusion didn't cancel it. But in view of the changed environment, he can, quote, exert his willpower and make himself go through the paces of violating his old conclusions. Now, when a person has an undetected static in the background, he violates that conclusion. And when he violates the conclusion, he is already set up to operate on the earlier conclusion. Now he has to go against it, and he sets up a randomity with his new conclusion. The randomity then is existing between the new conclusion and the old conclusion. You get the idea. So you get an interplay. Here he says, I always have coals, and here he says, I'm not going to have coals anymore. Now the funny part of it is, he says, I'm not going to have coals anymore, is it actually has some force. He's able to postulate any time he wants to, but it's going to be interfered with. So it's random. He isn't going to get any coldlessness all of a sudden, if that earlier one and the later one are at least a bit in conflict. Now an individual comes along, and he says to himself, he says he, I always wanted to be a streetcar motorman, but somehow or other, I have never been able to be one. What's he being influenced with? What is the only thing influencing him? Just exactly this computation set up on the case. It isn't that he's got an engram against it. Of course, you can get the conclusion out by knocking the engram out. You understand that. You could find the engram and knock it out, but we found out that there was a push button sitting there that didn't make it necessary for you to knock out the engram if you could find its conclusions. Very simple. And he didn't have to run any of the perceptics out of an engram if you could find its effort. So this is pretty well on the basis of straight wire. So here you go, on your straight wire. This fellow wants to be always wanted to be a motorman. Now let's go back and find the time when he concluded that he didn't want to be one. Let's go back and find a time when he found out he didn't like streetcars. He says so. In other words, we can clean up that goal for him just by asking conclusions as to things associated with the goal. Not just a conclusion about the goal. That's be pretty simple-minded, because there are other things associated with this goal than just being a streetcar motorman. Let's go all around the thing one by one then and find when he reached a conclusion about something connected with his goals, which was adverse. He wants to be a streetcar motorman, but he's got several conclusions on the line to the effect that streetcars smell bad. You see? And then he's got this other, you'll probably find a counter conclusion, whereby he finally had to conclude, in view of the fact that his mother begged and pleaded for him to be a street sweeper, he broke down and said, all right, I'll be a street sweeper. All right, you knock that one out, and you'll rehabilitate this goal. Now, if this is the goal he wants, that's all very well, but the chances are he wanted to be this because he postulated it when he was about four. He knew a streetcar motorman that lived next door, and he had nothing to do with streetcars, but he was a nice guy. So he wanted to be a streetcar motorman too, which was a way of saying that he wanted to be like this other fellow. So you can reach that goal, and bang, you'll blow up all of his motorman goals. Fortunately, there's a basic purpose postulated at the beginning of every life. It's your job to uncover it and the conclusions about it if you want a person to persevere well into the future. There's a formula for doing this. You understand that you're just trying to get up conclusions, and that one conclusion doesn't nullify another conclusion, that the old conclusions hang fire. What you want to do, then, with a pre-clear, you want to go through this routine with the pre-clear, you will find yourself very much ahead of the game. Now, this serves the purpose of diagnosis for you, because it will tell you the conflicts of the analytical life of the pre-clear. Regardless of how they're formed by the reactive mind, you can actually wipe them out. You can get out these conflicts by following this formula. You start asking your pre-clear, future goals. What goals does he want in the future? And mind you now, it's does he want, not did he want. What goals does he want in the future? And he'll try to tell you, well, once upon a time, I wanted to be an alpineer. Yeah, that's too late. I mean, let's not fool around with this, because you can get very, very involved. What you want is the future goal he wants now. Now, the chances are he will tell you that he can't resolve one. Double data. Here. You just switch over and ask him about what he's afraid of in the future. Not snidely, but what things are there in the future which you think might threaten your existence? He'll think for a long time probably and come up with some huge datum, like he might lose his job. All right. If you didn't find one here, then find one here. Now, if you find one here, let's trace out the factors in the present which make this future goal possible. Present factors, then. Now, what's he doing now to make this future goal that he found possible? We're assuming that he found a future goal. Well, he said, I want to fly to Moscow. So happens at the present time, I'm just a file clerk. But I want to fly to Moscow. Well, what are you doing at this time to do it? You're liable to get a tremendous jolt out of the guy right at that point. He's liable to say, "Bonk, nothing." And this will strike him with the enormous impact of a 16-inch shell. It just never occurred to him that to have something in the future, you have to postulate it in the present. All right. You'll be surprised how often this is true. So you get the present factors. Maybe he says, oh, I'm making model airplanes. Oh, don't ask him how this is going to make his future possible. Don't worry about that. Just say, are there any other factors in the present that makes it possible? And as he tells you this thing, he starts resolving his problem about that future goal, because he realizes that making model airplanes is not likely to get him to Moscow. Also, that his education as a file clerk and his pay as a file clerk are not likely to provide him with a Spirit of St. Louis. So, he starts thinking this over. Now, the next factor is to get past goals. What goals has he had? You're just going over the sequence once with him, see? What's your future goal? What's your present factors with regard to your future goal? Now, what are some past goals which compare with the future goal? Now, if he said he didn't have any goal and he looked in the present, what factors are there in the present whereby you can't have a goal? He will tell you that. And now you want to find out where he concluded that he couldn't have a goal in the past, more or less along that line, or concluded that his goal would be no goal or something of that sort. But you want to get these past goals. These are past goals. They're really past conclusions, see? Now, don't worry about how many of these you turn up or don't turn up. This is just once around on the goal side. Now, present factors, maybe this fellow tells you about his, he just doesn't seem to have any goal there. But what's he afraid of right now? What's he afraid of now? And you understand that his environment includes anything, anything. Himself, too. You can put it down that these are for 7 and 8. Dynamics. You can ask him this swing for any one of the dynamics. And you can transfer from dynamic to dynamic. It makes a system out of it, see? All right, now we've got this one. And that's really past conclusions, see? He says, well, the reason I can't get any place in the future is because my boss is so mean to me. All right, when did you conclude he was mean to you? Well, he'll remember this. When did you conclude bosses were mean? I worked for a grocery store once, and gee whiz, do you know my boss looks like my father? He's liable to come up with stuff like this on you. But you want, anytime you get a past conclusion, you want the specific that goes with it. The instant he made the conclusion. And if you can't get it that time around, take a little note of it and get it the next time around, okay? Now, you go over this and over this. Of course, your emphasis is on one. Your emphasis is very heavily on one, because you've got to straighten him out on one before he gets much of anyplace else, usually. And you will find that when you have drilled him through this a few times, that he starts finding times in the past when his goals were in conflict. But what you want, again, are just the moments when he decided his goals were in conflict, or his fears were in conflict, or that he couldn't do anything about what he was doing, or positive, negative conclusions, whatever they are. And you will be able to trace this individual's present and his hopes for the future down to the conclusions in his life which he made himself, which inhibit his accomplishment of any goal in the future, and which inhibit his vanquishing of the fears he has for the future. And that's what you're trying to do. Now, there are central conclusions, we used to call them computations, central conclusions on a person's case where all of a sudden he decided. Now, this is very definitely in terms of motion. They're usually conclusions that came right down to the basis of he all of a sudden decided he could never influence his mother. He could never get her moving, in other words. Or he concluded that he would never be able to stay anyplace, because he kept getting yanked out of this place and that place. Every time he was a kid, he'll suddenly realize that his goal is to settle down. But he can't settle down, because every time he said he was settled down, his mother or father grabbed him by the nape of the neck and moved him someplace else. He could never have any friends, because every time he made any friends, he had to move. This is the way it looked to him. He made this conclusion himself. Now, you're not interested in finding anything but the most overall generality on the condition. What you want is the instant he himself concluded this to be the case. you'll be able to tear apart a person's conflicts so fast with this little system all by itself that, by golly, I bet you could have an office on Park Avenue and drive almost as good a car as some of the characters that sit up there and do nothing for people for years at a time. Now listen, with this system, you can take a person's life to pieces in a 1 or 2 hour session. You can develop a knack for this sort of thing. You can develop a knack for this sort of thing. It'll go right down to the center of the thing. But if all you do is simply go over and ask him, now can you think of any future goal that you would like to do? No. Well, is there anything in your present that you are doing in order to accomplish something in the future? Well, I'm eating. Suppose that means I'll be alive tomorrow. Well, now, is there any goal in the past that you wanted to attain, that you decided to attain? No. Obviously, this is nuts. He did. Next step. You want to know? Well, what's he afraid of in the future? Nothing. What you afraid of in present time? Is there anything you're concerned with in present time? No. Is there anything you were ever concerned with in the past? No. Well, now you take your goals for the future. See, you can do this without holding a piece of paper because there's only 6 of them there. Easy to remember. You can say, now take your goals for the future. Can you think of one now you might possibly have? No. Well, how about any preparation, anything you're building up? Yeah, I'd sure wish I wasn't so damn bored about life. Because unbeknownst to you, you may think you are triggering blanks, but you're not. Here, down on this strata, you're asking his memory to travel along here, and every time it does, one of these things will move up a little closer, and you'll get line conclusions, just like you get line charges. Concepts of conclusions. Perfectly valid. Concepts of conclusions. He'll get a concept that he wants to stay alive, for instance, without ever being able to tell you a moment when he was glad to be alive. But you unbury this stuff. He'll get a concept of the fact that he's afraid, and this is the commonest one you'll get, that he's somehow afraid of the future. And he doesn't know why, but he knows he's afraid of the future. And his single recognition that he's afraid of the future brings some charge off the line. Now, you're not trying to pin the guy down or force conclusions on him, because you're introducing new statics if you do this. And that's one for you to remember. You're trying to pick up his self-determinance. Now, you can just work with this. This is a very healthy little system. Very healthy for your pre-clear. Because of all systems now in use in Dianetics, this is the only one which stresses future. Sanity is dependent upon computation into the future, smooth planning about the future, happiness, height on the tone scale, lack of fear, all of these things, smooth planning about the future. And low tone scale stuff is too much involvement in the past. You find that in the Book of Axioms. Or just involvement in factors of the present, evidently, that are so present that the guy just can't seem to do anything about them. Now, you can straighten people out at a higher rate of speed. Now, if you want to know about diagnosis, calling it as such, you run this system on a pre-clear for a while. Straight wire. It's very nice to get your hands full of efforts and you see a chronic somatic staring you in the face and you know you can take his glasses off or something like that. Is that, after all, your goal for this pre-clear? Your goal for this pre-clear is not necessarily, unless you just want to do an assembly line knockoff chronic somatics, which is very good, by the way. I won't run it down for a minute. if you want this free clear to come back to Battery, be of more use to the human race, you'll try to bring him up to tones, kid. The fastest way you can do that are to pick up all the conclusions that are hung up and garbled. In other words, pick out the randomities of his life. Because his randomity and his only real, honest-to-goodness, troublesome randomity is his inability to plan into the future caused by his conclusions, which inhibit such planning in the past. We're not just trying to clean up the past and let an individual wander off sort of dazedly into the future. We should have a person pretty well back to Battery on the problems of his life, but you don't get him back to Battery by advising him about those problems. You get him squared around just on the basis of this. In order to return an individual self-determinism, you have to let him conclude his conclusions with maximal self-determinism. You, with a knowledge of existence, with a knowledge of Dianetics, can recognize a lot of things about a preclear that he won't see himself. It's almost irresistible at times not to say, but you dummy, don't you see that the reason you keep telling me this phrase, well, I guess it's all in my head, I guess it's all in my head. You got sinusitis. It's terrible trying to conclude this sort of thing and not do something desperate about it. Because you see, the mechanism of words are just as aberrated as they ever were. But you know where words came from, you don't have to worry about it now. Dickens with it. You're just processing illusions with processing words, but they can certainly make people sick. But the way to make them well is not address words, because you're addressing the illusion. The reason words could make them sick is because words are illusion, not actuality. So you can just bypass words. Don't worry about it. A guy keeps saying, though, in my head and so on, you know darn well there's a conclusion about his head. Now, it'll be a conclusion under the conclusion under the conclusion. It'll be way back. All of a sudden, you'll find out that he concluded one time to be sick. Because when he was sick, and only when he was sick, was his mother nice to him. The way he found this out was to have a spell of something of the sort, and she would come around and put cool claws on his head, or warm claws on his jaw, or something of the sort. And this is sort of twisted around, and his wife used to get very concerned whenever he would get a little bit of a sniffle or something of the sort, and so he concluded that this was the way to get warm claws on his head. He'll figure this out himself. All of a sudden, you've gotten rid of a chronic somatic. Believe me, if it blows on that conclusion line, it'll blow. Well, I don't think there should be much question about this technique. It's very important to put people into the future, not by running them up there on the time track, but by taking away their fears about the future. And that's not really enough, because you can take away a fellow's fears and you've only got half the problem. He has to have his goals. Well, he had goals the day he was born. It's up to you to help him find them for himself. So if you want to do the whole problem up beautifully, why, you just ask him the right questions in this cycle, and you vanish for him in this wise his fears in the future, and you rehabilitate for him into the future his own goals. When you've got a preclear who can live relaxed in the present and who can postulate goals in the future, and who can even look death in the eye without much fear, you got a well guy. And that's what you're trying to do. Any route is a valid route. You go back to train individuals how to do this, how to do effort processing, self-determined effort processing. You could plunge right in, hand over fist, tell them all about effort and axioms and You maybe forget that you have a tremendous orientation on Dianetics. Well oriented. It's easy for you to pick up new things. Easy for you to extrapolate out the inevitable conclusions with regard to these things. But maybe the people you will be training won't have such an orientation. As a net result, what you should be doing is let them get their feet damp before you make them swim. And this is a swell way to do it. To point out to them, you can even give yourself a little altitude by telling them about statics, so forth. But point out to them that this guy makes a conclusion, that's it. He's made a conclusion in the past, and that's it. And all you've got to do to knock this out is make him remember it. If it doesn't go away the first time, make him remember it two or three times. And you teach them with this system on how to do it, they'll be able to go around with their friends and utilize this. And it's a very simple, it's a very easy to understand system. It takes a lot more than this system, perhaps. Your tough chronic somatic cases, but all this system pretends to do is stabilize an individual in the present so that he can hopefully and knowingly face what he wants to do in the future and progress toward that goal. And that, after all, is happiness. And this is the fastest way I know to get atoned for. Now, it's been very kind of you to come to Wichita. I hope you take away some of the things that you find useful to you, and that their employment is gainful to the health and happiness, vitality and cussedness of your preclears. The foundation sees nothing wrong with a very gentle form of, well, call it advertising, so long as that contains nothing but the highest of realities. It possibly is not enough simply to take away a chronic somatic for an individual, but it should make him interested enough maybe to get further orientation. And perhaps if we set up any kind of an assembly line on knocking out chronic somatics on individuals, we will also set up a straight wire system of this character in order to rehabilitate the individual in other ways besides the fact that he has had a bad ankle for a number of years. Some 3 months from now, the second edition of Self-Analysis will be out. It will contain quite a bit about self-determinism and other things, so that you will be able to concentrate, perhaps, on training of students, the turning off of heavy psychosomatics for individuals, and you will have a book sitting alongside of you that you can toss them that should do this for them automatically. Dianetics is doing a resurgence. The main reason for its resurgence is the fact that it's better codified. And also, the loyalty of a great many people made it possible for Dianetics to hang on until the lessons which it learned the hard way could be recodified and used. There are a great many things going to happen here in the next few months. It's all on the blue side of the ledger, as far as I see. The sudden acquisition of a tool which works on chronic somatics with a good level of invariability should be in itself a certain amount of boost to Dianetics. I want to thank you all for coming to Wichita and attending these lectures. I can only hope that the matter has been of some use to you. I probably am not going to lecture again, another series of lectures, for a long, long time. I've got my schedules along a lot of lines, and some of them include going fishing. Tomorrow, any of those who wish to stay over can get supervised processing, team processing, and perhaps even a little bit of staff processing in order for the last ounce to be dragged out of the time that you're here. So if any of you want to take advantage of that, by all means do so. And thank you again for coming to Wichita. Good night.